Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Most of the time when I go outside, it's during the day. And I bet that's true for you, too. What do you think it's like outside at nighttime? Well, it's dark, for sure. And also colder than it is during the day. Different plants and animals become active, like primroses, bats, and owls. That's because these plants and animals are nocturnal, or active at night. If the night is clear, you can see the moon and the stars in the sky. Being outside at night seems mysterious to me, and maybe a little bit scary. But to our guest today, being outside at night is pure magic.
Looking back, I think I've actually always been drawn to and interested in nocturnal experiences. Darkness has always interested me.
This is Leanne Henyon. She's an author, and she recently wrote a book all about the magic of the nighttime world and nocturnal creatures. Last season, we talked to Lynn Faust, a firefly expert. Leanne is also interested in fireflies, and they're actually the creatures that first pulled her outside at night.
I had gone looking for synchronous fireflies in Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and it was a fantastic experience. The fireflies were magnificent, but I was struck by the fact that night after night, walking around in search of fireflies, I was walking around in darkness without a flashlight, without a source of artificial light. And it was something that I had not really done before. And so the darkness itself really felt like solace. It was a really restorative experience to walk in the dark.
Leanne loved the feeling of being in the dark, and it made her realize how often we rely on artificial light when we go outside. Artificial light is light that doesn't come from the sun. Things like flashlights, lamps, and even fires. These lights can make human activities easier, but artificial light can also have a negative impact on creatures that are used to the dark.
I learned a lot about light pollution, so how artificial light disrupts fireflies, and I learned that it also disrupts owls, glowworms, moths, bats, pretty much everything that I went seeking. Natural cycles on Earth are incredibly disrupted by artificial light. And when I published that story, a lot of readers started reaching out to me and they were saying things like, I read this story and it inspired me to turn off my porch lights. And I was like, wow, this story has inspired someone to change a habit, to take an action. And it was because people got curious to see what might be in their yards, to experience the darkness of their own yards. Darkness has things to offer.
People were interested in seeing nighttime creatures living comfortably in their backyards. So they were willing to turn off their porch lights to create the right environment. So, what are these nocturnal creatures that are so interesting? Besides fireflies, one of the first nocturnal animals that drew Leanne's attention was the spotted salamander.
Spotted salamanders only come out a couple weeks in spring, so they really spend most of their lives underground in darkness, and we really don't know that much about their day-to-day, night-to-night lives. But they do come out just for this short period of time. There's a mountainside that has escaped development, and salamanders just flow out of this mountain in breeding season. And if there are roads blocking that migration path, there are often people who will go out and have salamander brigade nights where they're making sure that the salamanders can safely cross.
So these spotted salamanders come out of the ground for only a couple weeks each year to go marching down the mountain to where?
To get to the ephemeral pools, which is where they breed.
Ephemeral pools are natural pools of water that fill up in the spring, perfect for the salamanders who need water to lay their eggs.
When the salamanders get to ephemeral pools, they lay their eggs. And so the salamanders want to hide under leaves. They really just don't want to be in the sunlight. But these eggs are exposed to sunlight. And so when a spotted salamander develops its nervous system, algae actually blooms inside of these eggs. And so it's a little boost of oxygen.
The salamanders need to make it to these pools to lay their eggs, and sometimes that can mean crossing roads and other obstacles. Luckily, there are often humans around to help.
I went out many nights with salamander brigades. People who get excited about salamanders are interesting people. People who are willing to kind of go out of their regular nightly activities. They'll have scouts out, you know, is this going to be a big night? So there are big nights where you could have hundreds of salamanders moving and other nights where you might just only have a few. And it's dependent on temperature and rainfall and all sorts of different things. So it's never quite exactly known what's going to happen night to night.
On a big night, hundreds of salamanders move from the mountain towards the ephemeral pools. And sometimes they have to cross roads to get there. To prevent the salamanders from being crushed by cars, volunteer salamander brigade members pick up the salamanders to safely escort them to their destination.
I did pick up a few salamanders, not too many. I was with a large group of biology students on the night that I encountered a large population. But it was really interesting to witness these kids. They've chosen to study biology, and some of them were encountering salamanders in the wild for the first time in their lives. And it was a really meaningful experience to watch that interaction taking place.
These migrating salamanders are a great example of the creatures that the nighttime world has to offer. As she met more and more nighttime creatures, Leanne realized that sometimes people can have negative opinions about certain nocturnal animals.
Glowworms are fantastic. They are magical, and they are maggots. So maggots, we need some positive PR, right? Bats, I've come to think bats also need some positive PR. Over and over, a lot of these nocturnal creatures really get a bad rap. Moths are a great example. People love butterflies. I mean, people just absolutely get excited about butterflies. But if you ask people if they love moths, oh, no, not usually. You know, there's a little bit of a pushback sometimes.
What do you think about moths? Have you ever seen a moth before? Maybe near a porch light or by a lamp while camping? I'll admit, moths seem a little freaky when I first think about them. And I don't really even get why. Maybe I need to give moths a chance, because it turns out they're actually pretty important.
Moth species outnumber butterfly species. They are incredibly undervalued as nocturnal pollinators. People are pro-pollination. And some scientists would argue that they are more important pollinators than bees. So I don't want to get into the fray of that, but the landscapes that we appreciate in daylight, a lot of those landscapes are made possible because of the work that these moths are doing at night. And I also think there's a perception of moths as just dull and drab and, you know, just they want to come and eat your clothes and your closet. But, you know, there are so many gorgeous moth species, just incredibly colorful, giant and tiny. They're just gorgeous.
If you want to go outside and see a moth after hearing Leanne's enthusiastic description, you're not the only one. One of her friends was interested in seeing some moths after hearing Leanne talk about hawk moths, a tiny little moth that can fly super fast.
Hawk moths are fantastic. I actually have a friend who she has nocturnal blooming flowers, and she just didn't spend time out in her garden at night at dusk. She just hadn't been out there. And I told her about hawk moths, and she went out. She got in touch with me. She said, I went out and I found one almost immediately. And she was like almost in tears. And I was like, why are you so emotional over this? And she said, because they were there the whole time. You know, the idea that all this wonder has been out there in darkness the whole time, it's fantastic.
In addition to special animals and bugs that are active at night, there are also plants that move and grow in the dark, just like the nocturnal blooming flowers that Leanne referenced. These plants can be put together to create a moon garden, perfect to enjoy in the dark.
Oftentimes people will just plant white flowers or flowers like lamb's ear that have a kind of a fuzzy silvery tone when they catch a little bit of light. There are a lot of different plants that can be used in a moon garden. Common evening primrose, they have these little latches on them. So it's like a little latch that at just the right time in the evening, that latch kind of pops open. And the flower just opens, and it's like watching a time-lapse video, but in person. To have the patience to kind of let your own night vision ripen, sitting with an evening primrose, it's a different kind of experience, but it's a lower energy, meditative, pretty amazing experience. You've created a mini quest. I think if it's framed as a quest, people can get behind a quest. So a mini quest right in your own yard. Can you find a night blooming flower? Are you patient enough to watch it bloom?
I love a mini quest outdoors. Maybe I'll have to read about some nocturnal blooming flowers near me and go and find them. Leanne's experience getting to know the outdoors at night changed the way that she thinks about darkness.
It really has given me a relationship to darkness, befriending darkness in that sense, and remembering that positive side of the unknown has been really helpful. I've discovered an entire new half of the world, which has really been fantastic.
It gets dark every night, so your opportunity to learn about the nighttime world is just around the corner. Grab a grown-up and enjoy sitting outside some night. Maybe even turn your porch light off. Just like Leanne, you can discover the wonder of nighttime magic.
A quick word for you parents. This is Marcus Smith. I'm host of the Constant Wonder podcast, source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too. But you may be wanting more. We have a full episode devoted to Leanne Henyon and the wonders of the nighttime world. If you'd like to hear the full presentation, find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode is titled Not So Scary, The Dazzling Secrets of the Dark. You're likely to have an appetite for more than a single episode, by the way. Constant Wonder is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.